Today, we welcome Minnesota Department of Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson. Tom Peterson was appointed Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture by Governor Tim Walz in 2019. Commissioner Peterson is a longtime resident of Royalton Township near Pine City, where he lives on a horse farm. Before being appointed commissioner, Peterson served as the Director of Government Relations for Minnesota Farmers Union since 2002, working on behalf of MFU's farmer members in both Washington, D.C. and in St. Paul. And prior to his work at the Minnesota Farmers Union, Commissioner Peterson spent most of his life working for his family and his own horse and farm business. He has a wide range of experience in state and federal farm policy, and he travels to almost every county in Minnesota each year to fully understand how these policies are affecting farmers' daily lives. He's served on many boards and committees, including the University of Minnesota Extension Citizens Advisory Committee, Farmers Legal Action Group, Citizens Utility Board, Minnesota Ag in the Classroom, Minnesota State Organic Task Force, Minnesota Rural Broadband Coalition, and Minnesota Fair Plan. Commissioner Peterson also received his associate's degree from Normandale Community College and studied at both the University of Minnesota and the University of Georgia. The commissioner and his wife, Alana, live in Pine City with their two sons. The Petersons show horses around the state, and they have competed at the Minnesota State Fair for over 25 years. That's quite a bio, Commissioner Peterson. Welcome to the podcast.
Great to join you today, Dan.
Let's start just for a little background for our listeners who may not be real familiar with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Can you give us some insight into the mission of the department and activities as well as your role as commissioner?
So our department is one of, you know, many departments across state. People think of Department of Transportation, Department of Health, Commerce, you know, all these different ones that are so important. Some that people don't like as much as like revenue, but agriculture is a really important agency. We have about 500 employees. Our mission is really to promote agriculture of all kinds across the state, you know, and make sure that we provide safe, healthy, affordable food for all Minnesotans, and then also do it in a way that supports our environment, which is really important. So again, just that real promotion of agricultural products across state helps support our farmers. We also do a lot of regulation, making sure our food is safe, whether that's pesticides, fertilizers, grocery stores, food companies, and then different things, you know, everything from Christmas trees and imports and exports and all kinds of things. Anything you can think of with agriculture, we touch. And so we work closely with federal partner, the USDA. It's just a great agency to work with our 67,400 farm families across the state.
And Commissioner, you mentioned regulatory work that you do, and I think that might surprise some people that the department isn't just about being proactive for agriculture, but it also steps in as a regulatory agent at times.
Yeah, you really think about food safety, you know, and I think that, you know, people take it for granted sometimes, you know, and I think that's important things that our staff do, you know, that we make sure that that food that you're eating, that you're buying at a grocery store, that it comes from a safe environment, that it's stored at safe temperatures, that it has proper labeling, all these things that you might take for granted. Same goes on the farm, pesticide use, different chemicals, really, really important. But then, you know, making sure too that we protect what's coming into the state so that we have a thriving economy. So it's a big responsibility. We have great staff at the department who take their job very seriously and enjoy working with the department.
And I think the thing that some people should realize is that you serve at the pleasure of the governor, and that all of the agency commissioners don't get to write the policy or pick and choose which policies they follow. These policies have been stacked up over years of work by the legislature, and then you actually serve the governor.
Correct. I was appointed by Governor Walz in the end of 2018 for 2019, and governor's somebody I'd known for many, many years before he was even a congressman. So working on his behalf, the governor, it's you know, something when working with him, you know, he's somebody who grew up on a farm, served 12 years in Congress, but was on the Agriculture Committee. So it's somebody who understands the things that we're dealing with. And then, as you said, working closely with the legislature on different policies and changes, things aren't able to change overnight. Many policies that we work with, too, Dan, are also federal. Things that we're tasked with enforcing that are federal regulations, maybe through the Farm Bill especially. About 11% of our funding does come from the federal Farm Bill. So important things like meat and dairy inspection. So it's always an interesting piece.
For anyone who tracks the Department of Agriculture and Commissioner Peterson, he does not spend a lot of time in the office. He gets out and we see him around all over in the state of Minnesota. So based on your travels, Commissioner, and experiences, what are some of the most pressing issues being faced by the state's ag producers today?
Well, I think there's many right now. You know, right now, inflation is on tops of the mind of producers. You know, farm prices are pretty strong right now for farmers. You know, corn, bean prices, dairy prices have slipped a little bit here lately. Beef prices are strong. But those inputs, the diesel you got to put in your tractor this fall, and in right now as people are starting to wheat harvest, and you got to run that combine, you got to buy your fall fertilizer, secure your land rents for next year. Everything's going up, so making sure that those prices stay high or affordable for farmers, you know, and so that's on a lot of people's minds for sure. I'd also say the climate last couple of years has been a tough one. You think about since I've been commissioner, 2019, we had the wettest year on record. We also had a whole over 100 barn collapses from heavy snow. 2020, of course, we had COVID, the windiest year on record. 2021, we had the drought, worst drought we had since 1988. And then this year, we had a late planting season. So that changing climate, we've seen it just in the last couple of years. So farmers have had a lot thrown at them in that. And so I think that those are also big ones. And then also just our food system in general is changing somewhat. People want to know more about how that crop is produced. And so that provides opportunities, but also challenges.
And then on a related note, what might be one of the biggest issues today that could affect future ag policy in the state?
Well, you know, the one thing I think even in the, you know, we talked about our state policies, but the federal Farm Bill is really important and key to a lot of our things that we do in Minnesota. We're a top producing corn, soybean state, you know, about 8 million acres of both of those. Wheat, cattle, dairy, we're number one in sugar beet production, number one in turkey production. And so that Farm Bill expires about a year from now. And so having Senator Klobuchar, Senator Smith, Congressman Fischbach, Congresswoman Craig on the Ag Committee is incredibly important. And then also the nutrition too, there's a close tie to agriculture in that. So that's another piece that we're watching very closely here in the next year that will affect a lot of the things that we do.
Do you get an opportunity to weigh in on items of importance for the next Farm Bill?
We really do. And we get an opportunity. We, as Ag Commissioners, we have an organization called NASDA. And as I've been commissioner, I've slowly gained in the ranks of that. I chair the Rural Development Committee. Congress really wants to hear from us because, as I said, you know, a big part of our budget comes from that. Grants, things flow back to the department, flow back to our farmers. Minnesota, you know, is an influential state just because of people that we have. And so I like policy. I've worked in policy pretty much my whole life, and I like to be able to let people know, and they appreciate hearing from Minnesota, you know, what are the things that we care about and want to see in that next Farm Bill. And I always say, Dan, you know, too, if you don't share your issue or tell them there's a problem or things that can improve, people just don't know. So we'll be aggressive as commissioner in working on that next Farm Bill.
Let's talk about some of the specifics at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. One area that's near and dear to AURI's heart is emerging crops and what's going to become of them and commercialization and all of that. Hemp, cover crops, those kinds of things. What kind of work is MDA doing in these areas to support producers and spur some innovation?
Well, one of the things that we've been doing for quite a few years is working closely with the University of Minnesota on developing those new crops, you know, and we have an initiative there called Forever Green, which is really the idea to get more perennials on the landscape, more continuous living cover would be helpful. So we've been developing crops. Most people probably heard of Kernza, elderberry, perennial flax. All these different things are showing promise. And so, you know, farmers are learning how to grow these crops. We just have to commercialize that part. And that's where it's great to partner with somebody like AURI, where we can also come in with grants to help some of that. But that's important. And that's also the same with our hemp industry. Our hemp industry, you know, it's a bill I worked on for almost my whole career. We finally passed it after, I think, 15 years of trying. And, you know, we're in about our seventh year of hemp production in Minnesota. And we're starting to figure that out. But again, we need to work on that commercialization piece. As farmers, again, have learned how to grow the crop, it's just then finding a market for it. That'll be important.
Well, that's interesting, because I wanted to go to hemp next, Commissioner. We're very interested in your insights on the current challenges and opportunities that the hemp industry is facing. What do you see as some of the big barriers right now?
You know, it's interesting, you know, and when I was testifying and trying to pass hemp all these years, we talked all about, you know, fiber and paper and biofuels and soap and building concrete material and all these great things that are coming, oils, you know, and that market's developing. But what really happened in Minnesota is the CBD market really developed quickly, and then it kind of leveled off. And so now the grain seeds and everything are also coming back. You know, we started with seven growers our first year, and, you know, we've leveled off now to a couple hundred. We saw a spike of almost over 400 at one point. And that also, one other challenge, Dan, is just the commodity prices in general. When corn was hovering around $3, farmers were more willing to throw in 50 acres of hemp and give it a try, but they just didn't have a market for it. But when corn is $6.50, $7, and soybeans are up in the teens, farmers, you know, are probably going to plant that because that's what they know what to plant. So those acreages will also be an issue as we get going on stuff.
You're listening to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. Our guest today is the Minnesota Department of Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson, and we've been talking about some of the roles that the Ag Department has in Minnesota agriculture and on the national scene as well. I'm going to turn the ship a little bit here, Commissioner, and talk about aquaculture for just a moment. This is something that has risen to maybe a little more importance in the state, as we see more and more interest, at least, in starting to grow some fish both indoors and outdoors.
Yeah, you know, aquaculture is interesting. You know, it's probably been around in Minnesota for about 50 years, and all different types kind of start and stop. But there's, you know, just a new issue in proteins in general. So I think that's what's really important. You know, I've been really trying to get out and meet with the different aquaculture ventures, try to visit their farms and try to see where is this going to develop, because it can be anywhere from the bait industry, which we have a, you know, have had a shortage in lately, but to tilapia is always interesting. Walleye, trout. I visited a farm this last week that did bait and then also trout as well. And so it's exciting to see that market really developing. You know, people are looking for different types of proteins. And then also the feed part of it. What gets me is a lot of the aquaculture farms that I see, they're buying their feed in Nebraska, Illinois. You know, so if we can get that back here into Minnesota and then also continue to build that market. Shrimp is another one that we see a lot of potential in. So I think it's exciting. The department has some dollars now from the legislature to build a comprehensive aquaculture plan. And that's something that we look forward to, you know, working with AURI on too. It's just, again, similar to hemp and others, is developing that market and that value added market for it too as well.
Almost weekly, and it's certainly monthly, we get updates from the Department of Natural Resources on invasive species and new weeds and insects that are in the state. But I see the Department of Agriculture also puts out notices once in a while. So apparently you have a division or staff that monitors those kinds of things that may affect the agricultural producer. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a really important thing that I think also people maybe take for granted. They don't know what's growing. Even looking around my farm today, you know, is what, you know, thistles are one thing that people try to see. And by the way, as like ag commissioner, people will notice if you have a thistle in your pasture pretty quickly. So you got to take care of those as well. But we have a lot of interesting things that are developing across the state. One of them that is our high priority is Palmer amaranth, which is an amaranth, but it, yeah, if it gets into a field that has 250,000, so 250,000 seeds per plant, and it just spreads wildly, and it's a big plant, and it just will choke a combine. They have it in over half the counties in Iowa. We've been able to keep it to just a handful here in Minnesota, but we really work with the counties, with the University of Minnesota, soybean growers and others to really control that, you know. And so we have other things like gypsy moss, emerald ash borer, that are invasive species that have moved from the East Coast west. And Minnesota, you know, with having our forests and our great trees and everything that we have, this is a top priority for us. And I would say, like on emerald ash borer, we're not likely to eradicate it, but we're more likely to control it. Same with Palmer amaranth that, and many of these. And so we have effective control plans. We have staff that are very dedicated to it. You know, an emerald ash borer outbreak in a city can actually cost the city a lot of money. It can cost homeowners a lot of money to have those trees removed if they're dead. And so it's in the financial interest, too, of Minnesotans that we help control these invasive species.
Commissioner, appreciate all of your updates on the work MDA does with traditional elements of agriculture for the producers and the commodity groups. But our listeners today might not be as aware of the work that MDA does with entities along the value chain, with entrepreneurs, food businesses, value-added ag organizations, and educational institutions. Could you share just a few insights into the programs and resources that help other groups in the value chain?
You know, that's the most exciting part about being a commissioner is working with our companies and people that have dreams of turning our crops into something amazing, you know, and that could be meat, dairy, vegetables, fruit. One of the things, Dan, I think is really exciting is what we call the cottage food business in Minnesota, because these are people that are at their kitchen and have decided that they want to make some kind of food product and then take it to a farmer's market or a bake sale and sell it. And, you know, in Minnesota, we're nearing 7,000 licenses of people that are making something in a small kitchen and then taking it to something like that. But what's neat about that, Dan, and that's really almost not quite doubled since I've been commissioner, but it's really grown. And the pandemic really grew a lot of that. But what's neat about that is in those, you're going to find some gems of people that start a business and then want to take it to the next level. And so that's how a lot of businesses start, right? You always hear about in the garage, and in this case, they start in the kitchen. And so they, you know, it might be a salsa company. It might be they uses Minnesota peppers and other things that are grown. It can be all kinds of different things. And so to me, that's been really exciting. And so at the department, we have value-added grants that are really helpful that can work with partners to provide dollars for that grant and provide that equipment funding, you know, too, as well. We also have loans through our Rural Finance Authority. And when we have business development assistance, one of the popular things we have right now is website development, which I think is a great program too, as well. So very exciting.
And how important is value-added ag to Minnesota's ag sector overall? When you think about, we know the producers are producing, but when we can take that post-harvest product and add value to it, how important is that to Minnesota's ag sector?
Well, it's very important. You know, you think about the ethanol industry as something that really grew in Minnesota, that we really grew it with value-added payments from the legislature. And then, you know, also working with AURI, for example, on co-products. So we all know ethanol, but other things that come out of that, like distillers' grains, different alcohols, added value to those plants, which is really an exciting thing for me as well. Our meat processing industry, a lot of different value added there, apple industry, bread companies, honey, you know, just thinking about all these different things is very exciting.
Commissioner, I did want to have you just touch too on the role that value add plays in the state's ag policies. And I know that you work closely with the legislature, both at the state and federal level. Are you advocating for some of these value-added policies at that level?
All the time, you know, and just talking about partnering with the USDA, where they have value-added grants too. Theirs sometimes is more for research and development. So you want to get your company started. And then we can, you know, provide help with the equipment. One of the things too, Dan, that I'm excited about is something we used to have years ago at the department, and I worked 20 years to get this back, is some co-op development grants. Because a lot of times farmers, you know, you're starting that company, you're starting to move out with some of these new products like hemp, and the big money's not going to come in right away. So a co-op makes sense to start with farmers, maybe some funders. So we were able to pass that this last legislative session to recreate those co-op development grants and try to move those forward. But then also, you know, continue to get funding for those grants and convince the legislature that it's a good investment for Minnesota dollars. But, you know, I can look at a lot of the different companies that we've started with those grants that we've been able to boost and then work with AURI to help develop those products that the company sells and redefine them. There's many across the state. So I think it's, again, an exciting piece to work in.
Well, I think it'd be remiss of us if we did not include some background on your horse farming days, and still are an ag commissioner that still actively farming. And I think people in agriculture appreciate that. And tell us a little bit about your horse farm.
Well, kind of, you know, long time too, got into horses as my family and really training horses, showing horses, doing riding lessons, boarding, really diversified operation, you know, and also, you know, became a horse trader, you know, and so that prepared me well for getting into politics, you know, and so horse industry provides a lot of support to the agriculture industry in Minnesota. You know, we have the two big racetracks at Canterbury Downs and Shakopee and Running Aces near Forest Lake, Minnesota, as well as a strong, you know, 4-H FFA programs and just a really, you know, an important piece of the agriculture economy here in Minnesota.
And I know your horses are miniatures. Have you always dabbled in that part of the horse industry?
It's been about 35 years, you know, and I really started with the big horses and did that for a long time. My mom got into the miniature horses and, you know, and we worked together and they were kind of an annoying piece of our operation at first. And then as I got older, I really became to really enjoy them and we started to specialize in them. And they're just a wonderful animal and, you know, bring a lot of joy to people. And they're really fun to work with. So it's been about 35 years that we've had these now. It's funny how time flies.
Commissioner Peterson, you have the pulse of agriculture in Minnesota from the producer through the entrepreneurs, through the whole value chain. So I'm going to give you the last word today about agriculture in Minnesota, where we're at, where we're headed, and what excites you.
Well, you know, I always say, as you said earlier, I try to travel to all parts of the state. Even in the last week, I've really hit a lot of the parts of the state, visit our businesses, our farms. And what always excites me, and it's great to be in this position, is Minnesota is an agricultural powerhouse. You think about, you know, home to Cargill, Land O'Lakes, Hormel, General Mills. You could go on. But also, you know, over 3,000 specialty crop growers, 2,000 dairy farms, 4,400 hogs, first in dairy, first in sugar beets, first in turkey production. You know, you can go on and on and on. We have a great, you know, the great thing about Minnesota is our cash receipts for crops and livestock almost balance across the state. We're very diversified. And so it's an incredible piece to work in. We have fantastic people in agriculture. You know, the one thing I just say is that our food system, you know, has a opportunity to change a little bit with COVID. COVID really exposed shortages. Besides toilet paper, you know, the one thing everybody worried about those first weeks of COVID was our food supply, you know, and our production. And so really diversifying that has provided a lot of opportunities for Minnesota farmers, companies, and also the individuals. And then the last thing I just say, Dan, is social media too has really changed the food system in the last 15 years, is my belief. As you really look at being able to go on and see a millennial farmer who, you know, probably has a million viewers across all his platforms, people can see how he produces his products. Other farms, you know, are telling that story about how their food is produced, and consumers are interested in that and can make choices that way. So just a great space to work in, and I always appreciate working with AURI too as well.
I want to thank you for your time today, Commissioner Peterson, and if people are interested in any or all of those different programs, how can they find out more about what's happening at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture?
Two ways, really, I always encourage people to check out is just our website. which is mda.state.mn.us. But then also, people always ask us what we have available for loans and grants. So if you just Google Minnesota Department of Agriculture loans and grants, you get a list of about, you know, 30 different programs that we have that we want the Minnesotans to use and to share with their neighbors. And we have great resources to help our farmers and our companies across Minnesota.
Commissioner Peterson, thanks for your time today.
Dan, I really appreciate the opportunity to visit.
Thank you. We've been visiting with Minnesota Department of Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson. Thank you, Commissioner Peterson, for joining us today. And thank you for listening to the Ag Innovation News Podcast, presented by the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute of Minnesota. Thanks to our podcast crew, Eric Evans, AURI Director of Communications, and Lisa Martinez, AURI Communications Coordinator and Editor for this production. To learn more about AURI, visit us at auri.org.